The injury status of the team yesterday afternoon changed somewhat. We got a little bit more information about a few players.
Excuse me.
First being Leiden Murtha has a foot injury, which is going to take him out of the game and out of the season. He'll be out for a good 6 to 8 weeks. Hopefully he'll be ready by the bullpen. Got a little difficulty with the mic here today. But anyhow, he's the only player that's been ruled out for the game. The three other players that were injured in the game, Byford, Blake Lawrence, and Bo Rood, are all questionable for this week's game, and they'll be day-to-day, and we'll see how they progress throughout the week. But aside from that, we're just moving on to our preparation against Texas and looking forward to the challenge down in Austin.
What happened to Murtha?
Had a foot injury. He's going to have surgery. He's going to require surgery. I think it's a toe fracture, and they're going to go in there and repair it sometime today or tomorrow.
During the game that happened?
I think it happened on the second play of the game, from what they're saying. But he played the entire game and didn't finish the game with it, so we'll see what the op report looks when he comes out of surgery in the next couple of days.
How do you rejuggle then the line?
A lot of different combinations. We're going to bring up Javario Burks. He's going to have to move up. He'll most likely or probably see some playing time. Slauson has played that position. Of course, you know, with the situation with Brett Byford not being clear as of today, there's a lot of juggling of positions where Hickman could end up going to center. Then we'd have to move Huff over to a particular, to the left guard. And, there's about four or five different combinations we're looking at right now. So it's all based on how, you know, Brett comes back this week. We're optimistic that he will, but we'll just have to look at it day by day.
You talk about playing Burks this last season?
We're going to have to. I don't think there's any recourse right now but to bring up another tackle and get him ready. And Wags has been getting him ready in the last few weeks, so this is something that you prepare those young kids for. You know, a lot of those players have played quite a bit this year in a lot of different roles, so we're going to continue to try to develop the roster and develop those young players as well.
Burks ahead of where some of your other young linemen, like your redshirt freshmen like Jones and Williams, I know they play guard too.
Yeah.
Those guys are at.
Yeah. We've got a lot of confidence in his abilities. And he's got the most, we think right now, he's got the most talent to step in and play. So we're going to utilize, you know, his skills and his abilities. He's young. He's going to have to go through the fires, of course. But Marcel Jones is continuing to improve. Both those guys have worked really hard on the scout team. They've done an excellent job. They've received a lot of glowing remarks from the coaches down on the scout team in terms of their work ethic and their performance. But they're still young. They're still young players, so we'll have to keep bringing them along. Yeah. You don't like to play those young guys, but... Yeah, we're going to be forced into a position here where we might have to.
Given all the fact that could be many combinations, who would be most likely to start?
Probably Slauson right now, Steve, putting that there at that spot.
He has played like 8 straight weeks, and we're starting to see some of that. And some of the injuries seem like a lot of guys are banged up.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because, you know, when Bo went down the first play of the game and then Lawrence went down and, you know, that was really weird in the sense that it happened so quick and so fast. We ended up playing, you know, a little bit more Nick Covey in the game. Brandenburg played. Philip Dillard still banged up. So, you know, we're trying to do a little patchwork there.
Is it tough, though? I mean, having played all these weeks with a patch right now, kind of like the one, so to speak, or the goodness to get right back after it?
You know, we just... You just keep playing. You know, there's nothing you can do. The schedule's laid out. We just got to, you know, focus in on Texas. And a lot of teams in this conference are in the same situation we are, without a bye, you know, playing straight through the schedule. So, yeah, it would always be nice if you had a bye, you know, favorably. It would be great if you had one. Like I mentioned earlier, I think I'm on the record talking about a bye prior to the conference schedule after those first four non-conference games. I think that's preferred. That would be great, and I know a couple teams have had byes before they played us, you know, and that's, I think that's always, you know, it's always good that you have a little fresh time. Like I said, there's positives and negatives to both sides of the bye.
If you start to, unfortunately, I guess, develop some of these younger players and make it the same situation,
well, I look at it fortunately. I mean, they're young kids. They came here to play, so we're going to have to utilize them and play them. Well, there's no injury there or nothing that, you know, dictates otherwise. So at this point, no. I guess are you asking a roundabout question in a way, or why don't you be direct and I'll answer it for you? Not right now, no. Sam's our starting quarterback. That's a nice way that you did that thought. Appreciate that.
Coach, what about a running back, Quinn Castillo, averaged nearly 7 yards per carry last year? Seemed to have a better ability to break out longer runs than Marlon.
Both backs, and of course, Roy Helu did an excellent job as well. I think all three of those players did an excellent job in the game. We use them differently. I think that you saw the plays that we try to fit them in on and try to feature them on in terms of their ability so that it fits what they do well. And that's not to take anything away from the other things that they can do. It's just that we're trying to, you know, utilize their talents and what they do best. Like I mentioned Saturday, it was unfortunate that we couldn't get Marcus Mendoza in the game. We wanted to do that. We're going to continue to prepare he and also Cody Glenn, you know, for some roles this week as well.
Cody's healthy. What's kind of keeping him on gauge right now?
I just, you know, we're just in a rhythm with those other players right now, and you know, I visited with Cody last week and visited with him and kind of explained the situation to him. We're going to utilize him the best we can, and you know, right now, you know, it's really a situation where all three backs are really doing well. Marlon's doing well. And he's catching the ball well out of the backfield, as you can see. Roy's playing well. Quinton's doing well. I'd like to see a little bit of Marcus because he gives us a little different dimension. And, of course, Cody's another big, powerful running back that we can use, you know, very similar to Castile. So it'd be great if we can get him in. But, you know, right now we're just going playing the hot hand right now. But they're all contributing.
Not a case of he's in the doghouse or anything?
Oh, no.
Marlon has 49 catches, right? I guess why is that number so much higher than the rest of your receivers? Does that surprise you that he's at right now with those catches?
You know, earlier in training camp, Sean, we noticed the difference in Sam's play, being able to check the ball down a little bit quicker and utilize the outlets a little bit differently than we had in the past. He's a guy that sees the outlet receiver. I mean, he's come down to the check down, I think, more than we've had in the past. For whatever reason, and I think also everything that we're trying to do to get Marlon the ball, you know, in the running game and the passing game. So I think it's a combination of both. I think having him, you know, as a primary check down for us against certain coverages, and also having him featured against, you know, one-on-one routes on the perimeter as well. So.
Do you think Sam checks down maybe a little too quickly before going second, third receivers?
I think there's times when quarterbacks have that tendency to check the ball down a little bit quicker. Make you know, they speed their read up, their progression up, and they'll get off a primary or secondary and bring it down. But I don't think that's any different than any other quarterback. I think they all go through that. I don't think he does it all the time. You know, sometimes he'll see something flash and he'll come off a decision, and he's trying to make the right decision. But when he's processing as rapidly as he is and as fast as he can, based on the coverages that he's seeing, he's trying to kick the ball out pretty quickly because it is a, you know, it's a rhythm thing. It is a timing aspect that he's trying to stay. He's trying to stay with the timing, I should say. He's trying to get, you know, on rhythm and on cycle with what he's trying to get done.
Bill, what's wrong with the offense right now?
Oh, gosh. You know, the biggest thing, Dirk, would be turnovers. That hurt us last week. Two things I would say would be turnovers, and secondly would be third down play. And if those things were better, we'd be a much better football team right now. And we refer to them as TNTs, third downs and turnovers, and we really, really magnify it. We really try to make our players aware of where we're at statistically in those two areas. And we haven't done well. You know, when you turn the ball over three times like we did last week, you don't put your defense in a good position. You know, you're off kilter. You can't complement each other the way you'd like to on offense and defense. So that hurts. You know, you get a drive going, you get momentum going, and then you turn the ball over. And then you put a defense on the field that is struggling, and it just, you know, it just adds to that mindset, you know, that, boy, we got to stop them again. You know, we just finally did our job. You know, everybody's honest. You know, we just stopped them. Now we got to go back out there and stop them again. So that's tough. But I thought our defense responded out of the two turnovers. We responded well. I think we shut them down once out of the two on the field.
What happens with
early in the game, in the first half, I was speaking to.
What happens with Coach Watson this week and play calling?
He'll be down again. He'll help me again on the sideline. And I thought it was great to have him on the sideline last week, helping our players, helping our coaches, helping the unit. Again, it really helps me from the aspect of bench control during the course of the game, where, you know, I could really, you know, focus a little bit more on defense and watch some things that are transpiring there. He'll help me set up the next series. We'll communicate like we always do, no differently. And Coach Gilmore will be upstairs up in the press box.
We'll call the play Saturday.
Yeah. We did last week as well. We call them in conjunction. You know, and a lot of times, like I said to you guys over and over again, there are so many times when you lay out the game plan, you know, when you get to certain situations, you know what you're going to call. I'll give you an idea. You know, for instance, let's say it's 3rd and 4 to 6. In that particular situation, we have a number of plays. Let's say we have 6 plays up for that particular sequence. Well, we'll rate what call that we want up for that particular situation. We'll rank them 1 through 6. So when the first 3rd and 4 to 6 situation comes up, boom, you look at the card and we have the number one ranking on a particular play, and we'll call it. So we're together as a staff prior to the call even being made. Now, at times there will be some script breakers, there will be some situations where we'll call it differently. But aside from the first 15 plays that are called, the situational plays that are called, you know, it's organized, it's well laid out. Our staff, everybody on the staff knows which play is going to be forthcoming, unless there's a change from the sideline.
How often is there a change
from the sideline? From time to time. I think that's the nature of the game. I think that, you know, as you go along, I think instead of, you know, that first play in that 3rd and 4 to 6, maybe, you know, the next time, instead of going to play 2, you may go to play 4 based on the coverage that you're seeing, or the change, or maybe the defensive changes that they're making out on the field. So that can change. That can add a different dimension to what you're doing. Sure. Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
With recruiting, you guys got a lot of early commitments this year. What's been going on lately? What's the message you've been getting from some of those kids? And have you started to lose any of those guys at this point?
Well, unfortunately, we have, and it's disappointing, because our staff has put an incredible amount of work into recruiting. And, you know, I go back to last spring. I know, you know, it's that whole process starts during last year's recruiting, when you're getting names of kids and you're watching film. And then, of course, you come off the road after signing day and you spend your entire off season, you know, 3 days a week watching film, evaluating prospects, getting prospects to camps, getting prospects to campus, getting families here for unofficial visits. So it's a lot of work to climb up into the seven hole in the country in terms of recruiting. And, you know, that's the disappointment, you know, when you don't have success. You know, you see some of that slip. And there's a lot of uncertainty right now surrounding the program. And parents, you know, whether I'm a parent, you're a parent, and you have your son's looking at an institution, they want stability and they want continuity. And I think that's why, you know, with the contract extension, you know, in September, you know, I think that made everybody feel assured that there is going to be, you know, those traits for their sons. And so with everything kind of up in the air, I think that parents, you know, are concerned. They're looking for other options for their sons. And that's the tough part, because our coaches have worked exceedingly hard in trying to build that. And let's be honest, it takes time to build that. It takes years to get in a position where you can have a great class. And as you look at the landscape of college football, it's the powers, they're all going to change. They're all going to go through a little bit of this and that. And we've had more of this and that. But I think philosophically speaking, though, from a recruiting aspect, because of the importance of it, it takes time to build. And since we've been here, I know where I've been in terms of trying to plug gaps and plug holes and having to go to junior college to get players. I understand that because the expectation is so high, you got to get somebody that can step in right now and play at a very high level. And when that doesn't happen, well, you see the results. It would be great to come in and say, let's build a program, you know, from all high school kids. But that's not the reality of where we're at. I mean, when I came in here, we had to build a program, and we had to get guys, you know, stopgap guys because of certain positions of trying to plug the dike. So we had to go out, we had to go get players and try to get depth, not only for depth purposes, but for starting purposes. You know, guys that could come in and play immediately and impact the situation because of the balance of the roster. So, you know, that's what you live with. That's kind of life, you know, in college football. So there's other programs across the country that are going through it. I think you see that. I think everybody sees that. And believe that it's not an excuse for lack of performance on the field. I'm just telling you where it's at. And when you don't have that increased development happen sooner than later, then you get stung, and it hurts. It really hurts. But I think, by and large, the coaches, you know, the job that they did, I got to tell you what, this is the hardest recruiting staff you've ever seen, getting kids at camps and getting kids here on campus and locking up a class the way that they did. That's what hurts. That's what's disappointing when you have, you know, you're just building your program and you're right at the position where you can get a top class of talent like that, and then to let it slip away, that's tough. That's really tough. I think there's uncertainty abound. I think, you know, I think they're concerned, you know, from everything. Parents are looking at everything, Dirk. I think they're, you know, they're wondering what's, you know, there's a lot of curious parents out there in the conversations that I've had. And you know, I talked to Tom about it, and he understands it, and he's doing everything he can. He's helping us. He's talking to the recruits that we brought in this weekend. He's very active on the phone. You know, he's willing to do whatever he can to try to help hold this class. So we're doing everything. We're doing everything we can to make sure that we don't lose these kids. You know, because they're great kids. We spent a lot of time evaluating this whole area.
How can you tell them if you tell them you're going to be here? I mean, how can you tell them anything when you don't know?
Well, all I tell them is that, you know, they're making decisions, you know, for a lot of reasons, you know, for the academics and, of course, the traditions and things that are placed here in Nebraska. They're great qualities, and I have no problem selling that, you know. But I just let them know, hey, just hang with us, and, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, I can't make any promises. You know, I can't, you know, because I'm not getting any promises, so I can't make any promises to them. So, yeah, it hurts. Yeah, it does hurt. But, you know, we just have to deal with the kind of the cards we've been laid out with. Do the best you can.
How many kids have decommitted, Bill?
Oh, a few. I don't know the number offhand, but there's a lot of ongoing dialogue and discussions right now.
So decommitted or wavering is...
However you want to term it.
So given the loss of the recruits, three straight games where your team loses by 20 or more points, your boss gets fired, the man that hired you gets fired, and the book comes out where your quarter is saying negative things about your current boss, how would you respond to people that say, perhaps you're not the man for this job?
Well, I don't acknowledge that book at all. And again, all I would tell you is that I have been, and I've done an excellent job in every area. I mean, look at, it's hard for the media to know, but I mean, what we've done off the field, okay, and what we did on the field, I think it's well documented. We did some positive things. We have. We haven't sustained it this year. But, you know, you're in a championship game, you know, in a three-year period of time, you come in and implement a whole new offensive system. you come in, and in 2 years' time, you're in a championship ball game. You know, there's a lot of work being done. I mean, to put together these recruiting classes, I think it bodes well for what we represented, how hard our staff has worked. So there's no question. I've got enough confidence in myself and our staff and our players to know that we can win. We're going to win. You know, and we're just going through a tough stretch. We're going through a tough struggle right now. And we're trying to work our way out of it.
Bill, does any of that matter? The recruiting classes, the Northern Championship, does any of that matter?
Oh, it all matters. I think that, yeah, definitely. Does it matter? Absolutely, I think it matters.
Why does the class matter if they don't produce on the field, though?
Why does a recruiting class matter?
Yeah, and why is a good recruiting class if it doesn't produce on the field?
Well, I think it needs time, Dirk. I think those classes need time. I think that needs, I mean, we're playing a lot of young guys. So I think that it takes time. I really do. I think it's just a circumstance where you just try to keep growing, you know, with the players that you have. And I love our kids. They're trying hard. They're working hard. There are some real positive signs of consistent play in the first half. We didn't have that in the second half. But yeah, I think it's important to continue to bring in good players. I don't think you would not want to bring in a good player. I think you're always trying to bring in a player that can contribute and help you. It's just that we're playing them a little bit younger, too.
I guess if you could just comment, it sounds like you're sounding like a man who says that you got it to this point and it's basically all unraveling on you. Is that an accurate read on what you're saying?
No, I think that we're building it to a point where we're going through some struggles, and I think a lot of programs go through that. I'm not using that as an excuse. I'm just stating the obvious. We're struggling, and we got to play better. And nobody wants to win more than we do, and nobody wants to win more for this state than we do. And it's important to us. And to have people think that this isn't important to you, gosh, you know, we give every waking hour and breath, you know, to this program. And when it doesn't work, it hurts. It hurts all of us. So we are working hard to try to make this the best that we can.
Bill, if things didn't get better in the next couple of weeks, is resigning an option, or are you committed to?
No. I'm committed. I said I wanted to be here. I want to be here. I signed an extension to be here. I think that was indicative of my commitment here a few weeks back. So, no, that's not an option. No.
But when I was your freshman, you mentioned Mendoza and Burks. Is there a point where you get to, if those guys aren't in a starting role or a top backup role, that it becomes reckless or not the right thing to do to take a gear away from them?
No, I think you have to be careful when you use that word reckless. No, these decisions are made in the best interest of the program. No. To think that this, if you're implying a selfish motive, you know, no, not at all. We need help. I mean, we're plugging some guys in because of injuries and because of the nature of our play that we're trying to improve. So just the opposite. We're trying to show, you know, the fans that we're doing everything we can to put the best players out there on the field and do the best that we possibly can. So please, I'd be hurt if you thought of that any other way. That would be devastating to me personally.
If it gets past a certain point in your building, they have a choice at all. You go to them and ask them.
Yeah, I have. I've visited with them. Our coaches visit with each and every one of them and to see where they're at. And, you know, they're great. They're great kids, like Javario Burks. You know, we need his help. You know, we need his help. I mean, there is a contingency where he could play, and that's a possibility. So I make that announcement publicly so that, you know, everybody understands the situation that we're in. You know, you've got to be ready. There's so many aspects to personnel that you have to be ready to plug players in if need be. I think we all respect that.
Bill, you mentioned having Sean on the field to give you a chance to the defense a little bit. What did you see this past weekend? And I guess what dialogue have you had with the Cause about maybe changes that you'd like to see made?
Yeah. I thought the first half, it really allowed me to really be fully engaged, which I was, understanding the calls and talking to players, coming on and off the field, rallying, supporting them, helping our coach. much as just listening to the entire game from a defensive perspective, or listening to the calls as they're being made in anticipation of certain things. That helped me as well, and I just threw my two cents in there. I don't want to screw them up, but I just would add some dialogue here and there. But we're going to continue that, and I think on the flip side of it, Coach Watson has done an excellent job being with the offense and helping out. We've worked hand in hand many times throughout the last 2 years, so he has a good feel for what we want to accomplish on offense. And like I said, the dialogue in the staff meeting room, I'm there morning, noon, and night working with our offense. So we're all on the same page. There's not a dramatic departure from what we're doing. Let me state that. It's not like all of a sudden there's going to be a whole new offense created this week. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no surprises defensively that you were able to tune into?
I would say probably the only frustrating aspect of last week's game was the containment of the quarterback on the red zone. That was, we missed some things there, and that was frustrating.
Which thing, Anthony,
I thought, I love Anthony's play. We're using him, as a corner, as a nickelback as well. He's got a lot of upside. He's learning as he's going along. I think Elmo has a lot of confidence in what he's done, and to put him on the field. He has a good understanding of the scheme. He's got great work ethic. He's a tough kid. He's only going to get better. I think he'll be an outstanding player.
Going on the road would be a blessing for this team.
I hear that all the time. Coaches say, we get on the road and get away from all this stuff. No, I don't. I just look at it as an opportunity to play a good team, a good talented football team in Texas. They are talented. I made that statement yesterday in the teleconference. A lot of speed. You see it all over the field. You see their abilities to, run it, throw it, defend. Just tremendous athleticism, probably the most talented football team in the conference from a talent perspective. You watch, the profile of the players, and you look at these players run to the ball, watch them tackle, hit, catch, run, block. I mean, they've got it all.
Since the beginning of the season, team goal is to bring the Big 12 North. After the last few weeks, how do you rearrange the goals to keep your team motivated?
Well, number one, let's just find a way to win this game. Let's just keep our focus isolated on Texas. And really, we have four games left, but this one is the biggest one right now. Let's find a way to win and beat Texas. That's our focus.
What about Colt McCoy? What have you seen from him? He hasn't had the kind of year where he did last year, but what have you seen?
I think he's a guy that has all the throws. He's a smart guy. And the thing that impresses me, accuracy's there. He's got talent around him. He can make the big play at any time. I think that's the thing you got to be. Going back to last year's game, the play to sweep, he can get you at any time. He knows where his talent's at. He knows where his receivers are aligned and mismatched. And I think he has a great understanding of how to utilize that. So preventing the big play, it'll be huge this week as we go down to Texas.
So how much of what you guys
try to do
is sweet start the front four and winning that battle?
Everything. if you can't disengage and get separation and come off blocks, it's awfully tough. And it starts with that aspect right there up in the front. And the ability to use your hands and to strike a blow and snap someone off and get disengaged and get to the ball, that's huge. That's the biggest thing. The activeness, the explosiveness of the front, is something that we keep trying to, create. We keep trying to coach up and try to improve as we're going through this struggle. The front four is where it all starts. It starts there no matter what team. I think that's the first thing as a coach when you turn on a film, you say, what's their front like? Same thing like when we've looked at Texas, what are they like? What do they look like up front? Who can we attack? Who can we go after? Who can we double team? You try to find guys you can go after and you can attack. And I know that's how we think, and I know that's how all the coaches in this country think when they turn on a film and you attack a team. In the running game, who are you going after? And then the passing game, You know, who's their best pass rusher? Who do you have to stop? Who do you got to lend help to? How do you scheme your protections accordingly to the talent that you're facing? Big. They're huge up front, especially inside. They're thick, real, you know, they're kind of the prototype defensive tackles you look for, 320-pound square body guys, run stop guys. You know, good strength, good anchor. They can sit down, set the point. They do an excellent job of, you know, consuming the double team. And if you do double them and someone comes off, they'll split the double and make a play explosively. So we got our hands full with their two inside guys. And their ends are very good, very solid guys.
Coach, I'm just worried this is probably the last thing on your mind right now, but there are, believe it or not, fans who think that you're not wearing Huskers gear for a week and you're wearing a black shirt or brown shirt for different reasons. There are people in the media that brought it up. I mean, how ridiculous is that? How do you respond to that?
I can't respond to that. That's awfully tough. I just get up and put something on and go to work, and you know, I change into my coaching gear. So I'm just like any other coach around here, I think. That's all I can tell you. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.